Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving deep, really deep, into Salesforce Marketing Cloud implementations, SFMC, right?
That's the one.
Now, for many of you listening, SFMC, well, it's more than just a platform name. It's this incredibly powerful tool. It can genuinely transform how you connect with customers, getting that real personalization down.
Absolutely. The potential is massive.
But here's the rub, and we see this constantly. Even with all that capability, companies stumble. Sometimes, honestly, quite spectacularly during the implementation phase.
Yeah, it happens more often than you'd think.
It's almost like buying a top-tier race car and then, I don't know, forgetting to put fuel in it.
Or check the tires, yeah. Good analogy.
So, okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today, we want to distill the absolute biggest mistakes people make, but crucially also the solutions. And this is all coming straight from the source material you've shared. Mm-hmm. Think of this as maybe your shortcut, a way to sidestep those common pitfalls and really hit the ground running with SFMC.
Exactly. And this deep dive, it isn't just about ticking off features, you know?
Right.
It's about moving past just activating the platform. It's about getting that strategic alignment, unlocking its full long-term power.
Strategic alignment. I like that.
Yeah. And successful implementation has our sources stress. It needs really careful planning, attention to detail. And this is key, ongoing management. It's very much a journey, not just a one-off project.
Okay, let's start right at the beginning. The foundation, planning, clear objectives. The first huge mistake, and it's almost shocking how often it happens, is skipping or rushing the discovery phase.
Oh, definitely. Critical.
So many companies just, they leap straight into configuring things. They don't really dig into their current marketing workflows, their data landscape, what the stakeholders actually need.
Without that grounding.
And here's a stat from some sources that really jumped out. Nearly 40% of implementations either skip discovery entirely or just don't invest enough time in it. That seems huge.
It is huge.
What's the downstream effect when you make that call?
Well, the effects are severe and they ripple outwards. When you shortcut discovery, you inevitably end up with solutions that just don't fit the actual business needs, doesn't align.
Right.
So then you get limited adoption, users can't do what they need to, you see fragmented customer experiences.
Disjointed, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And ultimately, the implementation just fails to hit those marketing goals or even broader business objectives.
So what's the fix?
The fix is structured discovery workshops. You absolutely have to get diverse teams in the room, marketing, sales, IT, customer service, even compliance folks, all of them. And in those sessions, you meticulously map out existing tools, systems, you trace customer data sources, the flows.
Where does everything live?
Precisely. And you pinpoint the core challenges and the real objectives. The sources even suggest dedicating like 15 to 20% of your entire implementation timeline just to this phase.
Wow, that's significant.
It is, but it's necessary. Yeah. And you document everything, requirements, constraints. It's essentially your blueprint for the whole project.
That makes total sense. It's like trying to build a house without architectural plans, right?
Exactly. You wouldn't do it.
So what's the biggest pushback you hear when you tell a company they need to spend, say, a fifth of their time just on discovery?
It's often pressure to go wow fast, you know, driven by this idea of quick ROI.
Impatience.
Yeah, impatience. But the irony is rushing discovery almost always delays getting real value. It's a classic penny-wise, pound-foolish situation.
Right, right. Okay, building on that foundation then, the second mistake, closely related, not defining clear objectives and KPIs.
Mm-hmm. Sounds basic, but...
It does sound basic.
Yeah.
But implementing SFMC without specific measurable goals, that's just asking for trouble. Here's where it gets really interesting, I think, how these vague goals can silently just torpedo the value you're hoping for.
Oh, absolutely. Vague ambitions like, I don't know, we want better customer engagement. They sound fine in a meeting room.
Sure. Who doesn't want that?
Exactly. But they don't translate into actionable plans. You can't measure them effectively, so you can't show ROI. You really need smart goals. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound.
Give us an example.
Okay, like increase lead conversion rate by 20% in the next quarter. Or maybe reduce the time it takes to create and send emails by 50% within 6 months.
Tangible things.
Tangible, measurable things. Oh. And it's also really important to distinguish between leading indicators, things like setup efficiency, segmentation accuracy.
You stuff that shows you're on the right track.
Exactly. And the lagging indicators, which are the ultimate results, revenue growth, customer retention, things like that. You need a proper measurement framework, plan right from the start to track both and actually demonstrate the value SFMC is bringing.
Got it. Okay, let's shift gears. Let's talk about the absolute heart of any marketing platform, the data.
Data.
If planning's the foundation, data is definitely the fuel. And this is an area where we see a lot of issues, both in its quality and how it's structured. We're looking at poor data quality and integration. Let's break that down. First part, migrating bad data.
The classic garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. Just transferring inconsistent, unclean, maybe duplicate data straight into SFMC.
Yeah.
What does that actually do in the real world?
Oh, the implications are immediate.
Yeah.
And super frustrating for the teams using it. You'll see automations failing, customers getting stuck in journeys. Your segmentation becomes inaccurate, so you're sending irrelevant messages. And your reports, totally unreliable. You can't gauge performance properly.
So you're flying blind.
Pretty much. The solution, well, it sounds straightforward, but it requires real discipline. You have to perform a full data audit before you even think about integration.
Before. Not during or after.
Before.
Right.
Cleanse the data, deduplicate it, standardize formats, use data profiling tools if you can, and crucially, define who owns the data, set up validation rules, implement governance protocols.
So it stays clean.
Exactly. Data hygiene isn't a one-time fix. It has to be an ongoing practice after launch. I remember the sources mentioning a team. They were so excited about their new SFMC setup, launched these beautiful journeys.
Yeah.
Only to find out months later they were running on incomplete customer profiles because they'd skimped on the initial data cleanse. All that effort kind of wasted.
Ouch. Okay, that makes total sense. And what's fascinating here, you mentioned this nugget from the FAQs.
Mm.
The mistake of using email addresses as subscriber keys.
Ah, yes. That's a big one.
Can you break that down? Like, what exactly is a subscriber key and why is using an email for it a bad idea?
Sure. So a subscriber key, think of it as the unique permanent ID for a contact within SFMC. It's separate from their email address. It's like their customer passport in the system.
A stable ID.
Right. A stable ID that ensures you're always tracking the same person, even if they change their email address, which people do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you use the email address as the subscriber key and a customer updates their email, SFMC suddenly sees them as a completely new contact.
So you get duplicates.
Exactly. Duplicate records, fragmented customer history, sending the wrong messages, inaccurate reporting. It's messy.
Mm.
Using a truly unique persistent identifier like a customer ID from your CRM system is much more flexible and way more reliable for tracking that customer journey over time.
That's a really, really critical technical point.
Okay, cool.
Second part of the data puzzle, inefficient data model design.
Right.
This is where companies basically try to just copy their existing CRM structure, which is often highly normalized, relational.
Very complex sometimes.
Yeah. And they replicate that directly into SFMC without optimizing it for what marketing actually needs. What does that do on the technical side?
Well, replicating those complex CRM structures without thinking about marketing use cases, it leads to sluggish performance in SFMC. Queries become incredibly complex, even for basic segmentation.
So slow.
Very slow. And it makes managing segmentation or doing real-time personalization at scale really difficult. The recommended solution is to build flattened, marketing-ready data extensions.
Okay, what are those?
Think of them less like complex relational databases and more like, well, like optimized flat tables. Almost like spreadsheets designed specifically for marketing queries.
Simpler.
Much simpler for SFMC to work with. They consolidate fields from various CRM objects into one place, making lookups faster and targeting much more agile. The key is really to avoid just mirroring your CRM. Don't overcomplicate it. Tailor the data model specifically to your marketing use cases.
Makes sense. Tailored for the job.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got planning sorted. We've got good fuel with clean, well-structured data. Now, let's talk about the engine itself, the technical setup. This section is misconfigured technical setup.
Right, the nuts and bolts.
First up, a critical one, ignoring email authentication protocols. We're talking failing to set up SPF, DKIM, DMRC properly, or maybe messing up the sender authentication packages, SAP. For email marketers listening, what are the immediate consequences there?
The consequences are direct and painful. Poor deliverability. Your emails end up in spam folders, not inboxes.
The worst place.
The absolute worst. And it damages your sender reputation, which can be hard to repair. SPF, DKIM, DMRC, these are basically digital handshakes, right?
Okay.
Sender policy framework, domain keys identified mail, domain-based message authentication. They verify that emails claiming to be from your domain actually are. Spam filters rely heavily on this. Get it wrong and they'll block you.
So how do you avoid that?
You have to ensure all those protocols are correctly configured. It's also best practice to use separate IP addresses for transactional emails versus bulk marketing sends.
Why separate them?
To protect the reputation of your main marketing IP. If transactional emails have issues, it won't drag down your marketing deliverability and vice versa. You also need to verify all your domain DNS settings meticulously and crucially continuously monitor your deliverability metrics. Watch those bounce rates, spam complaints.
Keep an eye on it constantly.
Constantly. I remember one source mentioning a company. They were rushing, right? They only set up SPF for their main sending domain. Totally forgot about the subdomains they use for specific campaigns. Yeah. Deliverability nightmare for those campaigns. Just completely tanked.
Simple oversight, huge impact.
Yeah.
Okay, directly linked to that is insufficient testing before launch.
Ah, testing. Or the lack thereof.
Yeah, neglecting that thorough end-to-end testing across journeys, templates, automations. It seems obvious not to skip it, but it definitely happens.
It happens a lot. And the damage is tangible. Errors inevitably slip into production.
Mm-hmm.
And that directly hits the customer experience. You lose opportunities. And it just undermines the reliability of your entire SFMC investment.
So test everything.
Test everything. The solution involves setting up a dedicated testing business unit within SFMC if you can. Conduct unit tests, journey validations, integration tests, and use anonymized data that actually mirrors your production environment.
Realistic data.
Realistic data. And really advocate for automating recurring tests, regression checks, especially after you make changes or SFMC updates itself. Test, test, and test again.
Sound advice. Now let's shift to the people managing this engine. Ineffective user and role management.
Yeah, the human side of the tech.
Let's focus specifically on poor role configuration. This is where organizations just assign really generic roles or maybe roles that conflict without truly understanding how permissions work and depend on each other in SFMC.
Right. And the impact here is kind of twofold. Either users get blocked from doing critical tasks they need to do, which creates bottlenecks.
Frustrating for them.
Very frustrating. Or the flip side, they unintentionally get way too many permissions, which is a huge security and compliance risk.
Accidental super users.
Exactly. The solution is to stick rigorously to the principle of least privilege. Users should only have the exact access they need to perform their job, nothing more.
Tailored roles.
Create custom roles, meticulously mapped to specific team responsibilities. Keep thorough documentation of your role hierarchy, who has what access and why, and conduct periodic access audits. Regularly review and tighten things up.
How do teams usually react when you say you need to tighten their permissions following that least privilege principle?
Sometimes there's initial resistance, you know, but I need access to everything.
Yeah.
But when you frame it as a security best practice, something that protects the integrity of the platform and the company, it's usually accepted. It's about security, not limiting people unnecessarily.
Got it. Okay, another related organizational mistake. Improper business unit structuring.
Ah, BUs.
Yeah, implementing business units without really clear governance or thinking ahead about how they'll interact.
Yeah, and without that clear planning, improper BU structures just lead to operational silos. Different teams or brands can't easily collaborate.
Data gets trapped.
Data gets trapped, fragmented. It becomes really difficult to do cross BU campaigns or get a single view of the customer if they interact with multiple parts of the business.
So the solution?
Plan your BU structure strategically from the start. Base it on logical factors, geography, brand, function, whatever makes sense for your business. Define clear policies for how data and assets are shared or kept separate between BUs. Establish governance rules and designate specific BU administrators to ensure consistency and manage it all effectively.
Needs that upfront architectural thinking again.
Absolutely. It's foundational.
Okay, let's dive right into the heart of actually using SFMC. Campaign execution, automation. Let's talk Journey Builder and automation pitfalls.
Where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly. Starting with over-engineered journeys. Building these incredibly complex journeys. Maybe with tons of decision splits, complex logic, but maybe poor error handling and not enough real-world testing.
Yeah, this is a common one. And the impact is directly on the customer experience. They can get stuck in a journey path.
Receive the wrong message.
Receive irrelevant messages or just fall out of the journey entirely and get forgotten. It completely defeats the purpose of personalized engagement.
So what's the balance? You need some logic, right?
You do, but the solution is really to design with simplicity and scalability in mind first. Sometimes that overengineering comes from a fear of missing some obscure edge case.
Trying to cover every possibility.
Right. But it's often much more effective to launch a simpler core journey and then iterate based on how real customers behave rather than trying to predict every single permutation up front.
Learn and adapt.
Exactly. Test all the key paths, the likely edge cases. Always, always add fallback paths and error notifications so you know immediately if something goes wrong. And then use A/B testing constantly to optimize and conduct regular journey audits to make sure they're still relevant and performing well.
Keep it lean, test, and iterate.
Okay.
And tied closely to journeys are Automation Studio misfires.
Ah, the back-end engine.
Yeah, those overlooked issues in SQL queries, maybe data updates, or just the timing logic within Automation Studio that runs all those processes.
And when these automations misfire, campaigns can just fail silently. You might not even know.
That's bad.
It's really bad. Data might not refresh when it's supposed to, leading to stale segments. Or incorrect customer actions could get triggered. Imagine a welcome email never sending, or a critical data update failing before a major campaign send.
How do you prevent those silent failures?
You need robust processes. Build staging environments where you can validate every single automation with simulated data. Test those edge cases before you deploy to production.
Test the automations too.
Absolutely. And use logging extensively. Set up alerts. Build proper error handling workflows within the automations themselves. You also need to regularly monitor for things like high watermark issues, where an automation stops processing data partway through, or sync issues, where data isn't flowing correctly between systems. Vigilance is key.
Got it. Okay, last major section. Let's talk about the crucial human element. People, process, and resources.
Just as vital as the tech? Maybe more so.
Totally agree. A huge one here. Change management and training gaps. Yeah. Rolling out this powerful SFMC platform without structured onboarding, without proper training, or without any kind of internal program to help people adopt it. Mm. So what does this all mean for the actual users on the ground?
Well, for the users, it means frustration, confusion, and often a real reluctance to fully embrace the new platform.
They stick with what they know.
Exactly. Teams often just default back to their old familiar tools, even if they're less capable. Or they try to use SFMC but misuse it because they haven't been trained properly. And that just tanks your ROI. You've got this powerful system, but key features are sitting completely unused.
So training is non-negotiable.
Absolutely non-negotiable. The solution involves developing tailored training tracks. Not one size fits all. Training specific to different user roles, the email specialist needs different skills than the data analyst, right?
Makes sense.
Assign internal champions, people who become the go-to experts for peer coaching. Launching the platform in phases can also help. It allows for gradual learning, lets you gather feedback along the way, and crucially, provide ongoing support, regular platform updates, best practice refreshers, keep people skilled up. The sources really hammer this home. Proper training is what truly empowers users, ensures high adoption, and ultimately delivers that better ROI.
Okay. And closely related, governance and documentation oversights.
The boring stuff that's actually critical.
Exactly. The mistake of just not documenting processes, configurations, or even why certain decisions were made during implementation.
Yeah. And the impact here is insidious but significant. It increases the risk of duplicated work down the line. It leads to accumulating technical debt because nobody understands why something was built a certain way. And it makes onboarding new team members a nightmare.
Tribal knowledge doesn't scale.
It absolutely doesn't scale. To counter this, you need clear documentation standards from day one for templates, journeys, automations, data models, everything. Use version control for your SFMC assets, just like you would for code, and conduct regular, maybe quarterly, governance reviews to ensure the platform stays clean, aligned with business goals, and the documentation is up to date. It avoids that whole only Sarah knows how this works situation.
All right. Okay, let's wrap up the common mistakes with misjudging costs and resource needs. Two parts here. First, underestimating total cost of ownership, TCO.
The budget blind spot.
Yeah, where companies budget for the SFMC licenses, but they kind of ignore or downplay all the other costs.
Mm.
The training we just talked about, ongoing support, integration work,
yeah.
The necessary admin staffing.
Mm-hmm. And the impact is pretty predictable. Budget overruns. Missed timelines because they can't afford the resources needed. And then you see corners being cut on essential capabilities just to save money.
What's often missed beyond the obvious costs.
Mm-hmm. I think what's often really underestimated is the opportunity cost. The cost of not investing properly in things like training or proper integration. The true cost isn't just the budget overrun. It's a much slower time to value and ultimately a lower long-term ROI from the platform.
So how do you budget accurately?
You need to build a comprehensive TCO model right at the start. Include everything. Platform license costs, yes, but also integration development and maintenance, training programs, vendor support contracts, internal staffing needs, dedicated admins, developers, analysts. Set clear ROI benchmarks you're aiming for, and always, always allocate some contingency funds for the inevitable unexpected challenges.
Plan for the unknowns. Okay, and the final mistake under this umbrella.
Yeah.
Inadequate resource planning.
This ties into the TCO point.
It does. It's the assumption that your existing marketing or IT teams can just absorb all the new responsibilities of managing SFMC with, you know, minimal disruption to their current workload.
Yeah, and that assumption almost always leads to problems. Delays in implementation, burnout among the team members who are stretched too thin.
Overwhelmed.
Completely overwhelmed. And critical gaps emerge in platform management because nobody actually has the dedicated time or sometimes the specific expertise required.
So you need dedicated people.
Ideally, yes. The solution is to assign dedicated SFMC roles. You likely need an administrator, maybe developers depending on complexity, analysts to handle reporting and insights. Plan your team capacity realistically. Don't just pile it onto existing roles. Invest in proper knowledge transfer to build that internal expertise over time. And clearly define who owns each key area, data integration, journey building, reporting, admin tasks. Clear ownership is vital.
Make sure someone's job is actually managing SFMC.
Precisely. It needs dedicated focus.
Okay. So bringing this all together, wow, quite a list of potential pitfalls. What we've really highlighted today is just how critical strategic foresight is when you're implementing Salesforce Marketing Cloud.
Excellent.
It really is this transformative tool. It can enable that incredible personalized engagement, but only, it seems, if you set yourself up for success right from day one, treating it less like just installing software and more like implementing and nurturing a living system within your business.
Well said. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, avoiding these common mistakes, it isn't just about getting the technical setup right for launch day.
Right. It's longer term.
It's about truly harnessing SFMC's potential for sustained long-term success. It's about continuous evolution within your organization. And this actually raises, I think, an important final thought for you, the listener.
Okay.
The sources, particularly the FAQs we looked at, make it really clear that ongoing support is essential even after SFMC is technically live. You need it to keep the system up to date, to resolve technical issues that crop up, to ensure users have continued access to help and training. So the provocative question maybe is, how does recognizing this need for continuous support and evolution fundamentally change our perspective? Does it shift how we view SFMC implementation away from being a single finite project and more towards an ongoing journey of optimization, adaptation, and growth? Something to think about.